Thank you for listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, an independent space that was created to turn up the volume of women, non-binary, and gender-expansive voices in song and conversation. It's a show that amplifies and multiplies those voices that are still not heard in equal numbers to give you an hour of radio unlike any other, created, hosted, produced, engineered, and powered by women. And thanks to radio stations like this one that bring you She Rose Radio each week, we get together for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities. To quote bell hooks, feminism is for everybody. This is She Rose Radio, and this radio revolution starts now.
Circles, always fumbling your name. Heard it quiet at the bottom of my drawer. A heavy conversation that I started to ignore. Here I go, just one more. If I left just a little while, would these questions turn to answers in a neat little pile? Could I be good on my own accord? Well, heaven knows I need it, but God's a different sort. Here I go, just for my brain. Can't deny it, my body keeps score. But if you tell me that you need it, I can get up off my floor. Here I go. Just one. Early, just to roll up late. Now my future's written out on my Sunday dinner plate. Could I be good on my own accord? Well, heaven knows I need it, but God's a different sort. Here I go, just one.
clown, 'cause everybody knows the thing she does to please. She's just a little tease. See the way she walks, hear the way she talks. You're written in her book. You're number 37, have a look. She's gone too smart to make you frown. What a clown. Everybody knows the thing she does to please. She's just a little tease. See the way she walks, hear the way she talks. 'Cause everybody knows the thing she does to please.
In honor of what would have been Nico's 87th birthday on Thursday, October 16th, Femme Fatale by The Velvet Underground and Nico on Shiro's Radio, and a new one from Florist from their amazing latest album, Jelly Wish. We heard Have Heaven. Welcome to the Shiro's Radio Hour, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It's so great to see you as always. And together, we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation. And before we get into what's coming up, I want to remind you that, like everyone in public radio and in the audio sphere, Shiro's is in critical need of financial support. We have our very first fundraising campaign now in progress, and we're asking for you to donate whatever you can. Text Shiro's to 53555 to make a tax-deductible donation through our nonprofit partner, AIR. You can also visit shirosradio.com to donate and to find out more. Thank you for supporting independent, femme and queer-produced radio, and conversations like the one that you're going to hear later this hour with Melina Duterte, a.k.a. J-Som, who's back with her first J-Som album in 6 years. Can't wait to dive into that coming up in the second part of the show. Right now, wishing trailblazing hip-hop artist MC Light a very happy 55th birthday. That's on Saturday, October 11th. After MC Light made hip-hop history in 1988, becoming the first female rapper to release a full solo album, Light as a Rock, she became the first solo female rap artist to have a number one hit on the Billboard rap chart with this song from her second album, Eyes on This. Here's Cha Cha Cha.
Cha-cha-cha to this Mardi Gras. I'm the dopest female that you've heard thus far, and I do get better. The voice gets wetter, nobody gets hurt
as long as you let her
do my thing with an 89 swing. The dopeness I write, I guarantee delight to the hip-hop maniac, the uptown brainiac in full effect. MC Light is back and better than before, as if that was possible. My competition, you'll find them in the hospital. Visiting time, I think it's on a Sunday, but notice they only get one day to shine. The rest of the week is mine, and I'll blind you with the signs that the others have yet to find. So come along and I'll lead you the right way. Just clap your hands to the words I say. Come on. I got the power to spit out and devour at the same time. I'll eat you up with a rhyme, but I'll let you slide 'cause you accidentally hopped on the wrong side. Now come on, that's suicide. Hypothetically speaking, okay, let's say you didn't know what you were doing. You're new in town and you're looking around for another name to ruin, and it's me that you're pursuing? Well, I'll be damned. I might as well tell you who I am. I the capital L-Y-T-E, and it's shocking, I'm the one you're mocking. Oh yes, I've been watching me like the fat on your back. It's plain to see that you're a wannabe, but you can't be what you're not, so you better start living with what you got. It's time to kick a rhyme out the patch, and you're the receiver, eager as a beaver. Time to convert the non-believer that I'm a roadrunner, leaving you in the dust. I can't adjust to the times, and at times I might just get quicker than the ticker of your pacemaker. More tender than a roni, but harder than a jawbreaker. So don't ever second guess me. And if you're wondering who could the best be, think a second and recollect the worst whipping you ever had yet. And I'll bet that I did it. My fingerprints are still on you. How many times I gotta warn you about the light? It'll blind your sight, but the rhythm will still guide you through the night. Kick, 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 kick.
Birthday to Shiro's alum and bassist Laura Lee Ochoa of Krungbin. Hers is on Tuesday the 14th from the album Mordecai. That's Pelota on Shiro's Radio. And if you missed that interview, please do check that out on the Shiro's podcast, available everywhere. And we also sent birthday wishes out to MC Light and spun her 1989 hit song, Cha-Cha-Cha. She was born October 11th, 1970. I'm Carmel Holt. Don't go anywhere. This week, we welcome back Melina Duterte to the Shiro's Spotlight as we celebrate the release of her first J-Som album in 6 years called Belong. That's coming up after the break. Stay with us.
We will get you right back to more from Shiro's Radio here on KAXE. I'm Malachi Coons. Tune in Monday as we honor Indigenous Peoples Day with a special Headwaters featuring the three non-blondes, a.k.a. Annie, Gizus, and Scout Humphrey. You can catch their show and favorite tunes at 10 a.m. on Monday and again at 11 p.m. Also going on Monday, there's an Indigenous Peoples Day celebration from 4:30 to 7 at the Gitche Zibi Center for the Arts in Brainerd. You can see the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Color Guard, a student hand drum group, and the exhibit Why Treaties Matter. Later this month, on Tuesday, October 21st, there's also an Indigenous and Community Health Fair from noon to 5 at the Armory Arts and Events Center in Park Rapids. Find community health resources and participate in Indigenous traditions like dancing, drumming, and beating. Let's get you back to more from Shiro's Radio here on KAXE.
You're listening to Shiro's, and I'm Carmel Holt. It's been 6 years since California-born singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, producer, and mixing engineer Melina Duterte put out an album of her own under her moniker J-Som. But those years have hardly been quiet ones. Melina's resume quickly filled up with noteworthy album credits, collabs, and co-writes with artists like Troy Sivan and Biba Doobie, contributions to film and TV soundtracks like I Saw the TV Glow soundtrack. And, oh yeah, she also earned a Grammy for her production work on the full-length debut album by Boy Genius, The Record, and then she joined them as their touring bassist. And if you peep the credits for Lucy Dacus' latest album, Forever is a Feeling, you'll see Melina's name there too, as a producer and a session player. There's also a collaborative album with L. Kempner of Palehound that came out back in 2021 under the name Bachelor. It was called Doom and Sun, and that was when we last caught up with Melina Duterte. I couldn't be more excited that she's back with a brand new J-Som album this week. It's called Belong. And as we celebrate its arrival, I'm thrilled to welcome back Melina Duterte as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Melina Duterte, welcome back to Shiro's. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be back.
And on such a happy occasion for us J-Som fans, I'm so happy that you're back with a new J-Som record, dude.
Thank you so much. I'm really stoked too.
So we have a lot to catch up on. So let's do it. Tell us what the last, you know, half a dozen years or so has been like for you. You've been so busy.
Yeah, there was a lot and a lot that I'm proud of. And I was still doing music full time. And I mostly got into production and engineering work, and I was working with Boy Genius, and I was mixing people just like kind of nonstop. I just wanted to keep getting better and better, and I kept getting the call and getting better gigs, and it's been surreal ever since. And I finished my new record this year, and yeah, it's been a whirlwind for sure.
Yeah. Well, I was getting ready to talk to you today and reading some of the press and this lovely interview that you did for Rolling Stone. And you talked in that conversation about kind of having imposter syndrome. And I was thinking about that, like, yeah, I mean, when you switch into that other role where you're in the supporting role, what was that transition like? Like, can you expand on that feeling of imposter syndrome, which
yeah.
is hard to imagine with you, you know?
I mean, we all deal with it, right? Like, even the greats.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think it was just hard to get right back into it. It didn't feel like riding a bike. I was kind of like, oh, what the hell is going on? I think I just didn't recognize my songwriting or exactly what my skills were leading up to this record. So there were many failed attempts at writing and recording. So the easiest solution was just collaborating with my friends. And I hadn't done that with like Anako and all of the other albums that I did. Like, yes, the one with L was very collaborative, but that was like a project separate to J-Som. And so I think I just had to harness basically what I've learned from working with other people in production into my own stuff. And I was like, actually, yes, I do need someone to hit record for me. I do need someone to like get me out of my head and tell me that this thing sucks, or just like, don't trip out about this like really small detail about something, or just like, you sound good, dude. Like, sometimes I just need to hear that, and then I can go crazy about other things. So the transition was a little hard, but also very needed for me to like understand myself Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When did you realize that you were ready to leave the production chair for a minute and put new music out under J-Som? Like, what was the motivating force there? Because you could have easily continued to cruise at altitude, you know?
It was when my manager, Susan, gave me a deadline. So, to be quite honest. Thank you, Susan. She basically, we started working together and she's just so awesome and was like, hey, you should try and shoot for this date. Mixes turned in this date and mastering turned in this date. And I was like, you know
what?
This is great, because I had years of, you know, people around me just being like, take your time. Like, you're good. It's when you want it to come out. That's what matters. But
yeah,
me personally, I need someone to tell me what to do and then I'll do it. And that was the first time where, you know, someone was like, hey, you should just do it here. And it like kind of rewired my brain and just kicked into high gear. And I work very well under pressure because I'm not thinking too hard.
So can you take us to the song that, if there was a song that started the process or got it flowing for you?
Mm. Yeah, I think that song was Float. That was one of the first songs that I wrote and recorded with people. I wrote it by myself, so that was definitely a challenge. And that was kind of like a, I don't know, like a dummy test song to see if I could still write songs and also feel like if I could do something fresh that I haven't done before. And I just really wanted to try an alternative rock song, which is kind of a funny choice, to be honest, like right now. I don't know. I love Blink-182. I love Jimmy Eat World. I was also listening to like Cloud Nothings, and it kind of jump-started the process of the record, where I remember thinking like, I just want to have fun in this album. I want to like go for it and see what happens. So from there on out, that was kind of the principle for the record.
Did you know Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World? Okay, so was that like a cold call? Like, tell us that story.
Another Susan connect.
Okay.
So serendipitously, she manages Courtney Marie Andrews, who's an incredible artist I love and respect. And she used to be in Jimmy Eat World. So he was super nice. Immediately was like, I love the song. Would love to get in there and help. But he was kind of late, not to call him out or anything. He was late for the turn in of the mixing. So we did the record without him. I was kind of like, oh, he's not going to send it. It's okay. Maybe in the future. And then super last minute, right before mastering, I think, or maybe the record was mastered already, he texted me and was like, hey, I'm about to head into the studio in a couple hours. I can record the vocals. Like, you want to talk about it? We talked on the phone, texted about gear, and he was super nice. I got to nerd out about Jimmy Eat World with him because I'm a huge fan. Bleed American was like a significant record for me and my brother when we were kids.
That's Float, featuring Jim Adkins of Jimmy Eat World. And we are here to celebrate the new J-Som album, Belong. We have Melina Duterte here with us in the Shiro Spotlight. And I'm Carmel Holt. I love thinking about you and your brother rocking out to Jimmy Eat World.
I think I was 9.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 9 and he was 10. Like, we were kids. We went to Barnes & Noble because we didn't have a record store anywhere. We grew up in Brentwood, California, which is like east of Oakland and San Francisco. And small town, just farming, agriculture town. And it was easy to get lost in music and just go to Barnes & Noble and pick up all of the indie CDs.
I love that. What was the imprinting that was happening for you as far as, I'm going to put this in air quotes, women in music? Like, did you have anything to model yourself after or aspire to? Or was it really super like dude rock?
It was super dude rock, but also it was also like Karen O from the Yeah Yeah Yes. And I also did love Bikini Kill as a kid. You know, even Avril Lavigne, like seeing that happen in the early 2000s was an amazing time and was really inspiring. Same with Liz Phair. I did have people to look up to, but you know, of course, it's all saturated with guys like how it is now still.
Can you take us to like where your own musical growth began as a musician? Like, I think you started like playing trumpet, maybe? Am I remembering that right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you remember. Right. Good memory. Yeah.
I don't know. It was like random. It stuck out to me because I always think of you as
just
a
like
bassist
guitarist.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. My roots were in trumpet. But before that, speaking of Yeah, Yeah, Yes, when I would watch all those music videos, I expressed interest in guitar to my parents. And I was like 8 years old. My mom bought me this really terrible acoustic nylon guitar. And I love that guitar. I still have it. I think it's still in my house here in LA. But I got to learn all of my favorite pop punk songs. Like, I used to print out ultimateguitar.com tabs, like Blink-182 and Green Day tabs, and just like learn that way because they were really easy. And then when I was 10 at school, I chose a trumpet, even though everyone kept saying, you can't play the trumpet because you're a girl. You need to play the flute or the clarinet, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I want to be like a boy. I want to play the trumpet. And I honestly was pretty good. And I did that for a long time. I was like first chair and did sectionals and I went to like band camp and I would gig at like jazz improv clubs with friends in high school. And I thought that I was going to go to music school for trumpet. Thank God I didn't do that. I decided to go to community college for music. I was also in bands with people. So that's where it started, kind of like the indie music scene and like, you know, Bandcamp and SoundCloud was around. So I started to upload music and everything kind of took off in a very natural, very organic way. Just like people all over the world were just listening to my random tracks on Bandcamp. And eventually my label now, Polyvinyl, signed me in 2015. And it's just been like amazing since. Yeah.
What a dream. What a dream. And like, by the way, happy 10th anniversary to Turn In 2.
Oh my God. That, yeah. That was Thanksgiving 2015. So it's coming up.
That's so like sweet. When you think back on that version of yourself, what comes up for you?
Oh, I see. She loved to drink. So the person that uploaded those songs for Turn Into onto Bandcamp was drunk. And I think of a very just young child that was wide-eyed, had no idea what was going on. But I also look back and I'm like, oh, you're so sweet. Like, you're so positive about things and you love music and you still love it.
Is there a song that you still like love from that? Or like when
was the last time
you heard it?
I feel like I heard one recently.
Okay.
There's one called, this is embarrassing, but I'm willing to show people. It's called Finding What You're Looking For in the Closet. And I actually think that came out in 2013 when I was 18 or 19. And I have like a British accent in it fully. So that didn't make it onto Turn Into, but it's on the internet.
You've been singing out of tune. Eyes are buzzing and bleeding. Our sad eyes too.
We have have Melina Duterte here with us on Shiro's. The new J-Som album is called Belong. So we are taking a little trip down memory lane and hearing your musical history and talking about this record. It's kind of sweet now that we're putting it in that frame, like you have a hero and a Shiro here with you on the record as a collaborator. Okay, let's like do the Hayley Williams moment.
Of course.
How did that happen?
I love Hayley. So Paramore took me out on tour in 2018 for the After Laughter summer tour. Soccer Mommy did the first half and then we did the second half, and that was so cool. I just remember feeling so nervous every single night, but Hayley was so nice. She was, I think, the first person we met. Like, when we came out of the van, she was like, hey, I'm Hayley. And I was like, I know. and yeah, they'd like all watch our set sometimes and were just super, just open about how much they liked the music. And she'd always be like, yeah, I listen to this song when I'm in the shower. It's like my shower song. And after that tour, we kept in touch. She would text me basically for years, just like checking in about the album. She'd be like, hey, how's your record coming along? Do you need some harmonies? I'd love to sing on anything you have. And, you know, sometimes I'd receive those texts and I'd be like, sure. Because I'm super shy when it comes to, I don't know, rock stars or celebrities in general. And, you know, being friends with some of them is like, I just like want to be respectful. So sometimes it's hard for me to like ask for things from them. But Hayley eventually introduced me to Steph Margiano, who's a London-based producer, and was like, hey, you guys should like meet up. She's really cool. She wants to work with you. Steph and I became fast friends and collaborators. We wrote like 6 songs, and 2 or 3 of them made it onto the record. And she was the one back in March 2024 that said, hey, we should just go to Nashville and see if Hayley's there. And we should just like book 3 days at the free Spotify studio and just like ask her to sing. And I was like, okay, sure. Because Steph and Hayley have worked together a bunch, and Steph has been like to Nashville back and forth. And she was like, we just gotta like catch her and see if she's around and not doing any Paramore stuff. And we were there for a night or two first, and I wanted to rewrite the song, wrote it with my friend Mal and Steph in Nashville, and we just like reworked it and sent the demo to Hayley that night. And she was like, oh yeah, let's do this. I'm coming in tomorrow. She stayed for hours just tracking and being super sweet, super kind, and had all these ideas that we kept, by the way. Every single vocal track is like in the song. Just being an overall awesome, awesome person, like she always
is.
Wow. Yeah.
Anything you want to tell us about the song itself, like lyrically, before we go into it?
Yeah, I feel like a very spiritual person, and I'm always thinking about my own like past lives and how it's affected my present life now. And I think about other people's, I don't know, like karmic journey. So it's kind of just a general song about believing in reincarnation and how we deal with it in our present lives. And it affects kind of the decisions and choices and the people we meet throughout our journey of living.
Walking side by side with your past lives into a standstill.
That's Past Lives featuring Hayley Williams from the new J-Som album, Belong, the third under that moniker for Melina Duterte, our guest today on Shiro's. I should actually really call it your fourth I'm so glad that you talked about Steph, because I feel like this is a good segue to talk about production and the production side of what you do.
Yeah.
And shining on femme and queer producers and engineers.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much this comes up here on this show. Let's talk freely about this, if you don't mind. First
Always.
Of all, like, your experience dipping your toes, and not even dipping your toes, like being fully immersed in that world. Like, you taught yourself how to engineer.
Yeah. I mean, even just the professional side of it all just happened a couple years ago. Like, working with labels and working with more indie artists and acquaintances and strangers that I've never met before. That's been super validating. But as I'm working in more studios with people and even outside studios, I'm like, oh my God, where are the queers? Where are the women? Where are the trans non-binary people? What's going on? I know they're out there and I shouldn't, you know, dumb that down. Like, so many friends, like Sarah Tudson from Illuminati Hotties. She's like a huge inspiration to me and so many other people. That's a girly doing production and engineering work and killing it. And I would love to see more of that now.
Let's talk about why that's important. Because I think we talk a lot about how much we want to see it, but we don't really dive deep into the why, if it's even something that you can articulate.
It's an energy thing. I think even like writing sessions when I've done them with cis men, not to call out my boys, like I'm not saying all men. I think sometimes to get to the root of songs or just even talking about something really deep can be a little hard. But when I'm in rooms with like women, queer people, it's just like boom, boom, boom. Let's get like into it. We're getting emotional. I think even like tracking vocals is a little more of a sensitive situation. And I've had women come in here, even at my home studio, and they're like, I've never tracked vocals like this. I feel so comfortable. You're like not mean to me. And I'm like, what do you mean? Mean? I'm literally just hyping you up and I'm giving you constructive criticism, but I'm not being mean. And that's how it should be. You know, I don't have an education when it comes to engineering and production. Self-taught, friends, internet, YouTube. That's where I come from. I didn't go to school, but I've met a lot of people that are like, this is just how it is. But I'm like, why? Why can't we make new rules? Why can't we be kind to each other in the studio? Yeah. Why can't we? Why? So I just feel like I'm always in a constant state of like confusion. And when I work with people, because they just have so many experiences that like make them not want to be in the studio. And if I can change that just a little bit, that's what matters.
Any ideas there? How could we make this better?
I'm going to be honest. It's up to the guys. That's how I always feel. I mean, for example, like Kyle Pulley, who runs Headroom Studios that I recorded at in Philly, he employs and has interns that are women and non-binary trans people. So many queers. Like I go in and I'm like, oh my God, what an amazing environment. Like this is so cool. This is like different. And I'm like, oh, it's because the owner, the manager here is just doing it. And that's all it takes. I think maybe people think, there's not that many queer people that want to do this. I think it's just more, some of us are scared and we don't see it. There's no examples until people start to include people into their own community. That's when it could start.
Yeah, well said. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing with us some of the things that you've had to overcome being a femme and queer artist and producer and engineer.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, to bring it back to the album title, Belong, that pretty much describes what I've had to overcome for these 6 years. I think my sense of belonging has kind of tapped into the red meters lately and just in general. And they always have, but I think as I've dipped my toes into different jobs with people and also have come back full swing with JSON, I'm like, oh my God, who am I? What is my sense of identity? Like, what do I represent? Do I want to fit in with this group of people? Do I want to belong here? Like, why do I care so much about that? There's so much competition in music as well. And I feel that when I'm in rooms sometimes, even in conversations with my peers, and not saying that I feel competitive, but just more like, it's kind of like a intense job to have. And I feel like I still deal with that especially now before the record's coming out, I feel pretty insecure about where I belong in anything. And I think to go back to your question about imposter syndrome, like, I don't know if I deserve this. I actually don't know if people like working with me. I know I keep getting the call, but sometimes there's that little, yeah, there's a voice in my head that's like, you suck. Yeah, it's kind of hard to move those thoughts into a different compartment in my brain.
Thank you for sharing all that. And thank you for illuminating why the album is called Belong. Did you know going in that it would mean that? Like, thematically, did you know this? Or was it like afterwards you kind of took stock and thought, oh my God, that's what this is?
It was actually before I started making any of the demos or writing.
Wow.
Which is strange. Wow. I think it's because music for me is so intuition-based. You know, it's all gut instincts. You know, do I like this or not? I have this really strong feeling. And I'd never had such a strong feeling about a word being the album title. It just kept coming up. It kept coming up. I remember having lunch at Joao's once, and I told him, like, yeah, I just, like, keep seeing and hearing Belong, and I don't know exactly what it means. And, you know, deep into this press cycle now, I'm like, I get why it kept coming up.
And it's also an invitation, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I heard it. I was like, wow, this really is like this multifaceted, I don't know, like has like a crystal kind of a vibe. Like, you know, you can look deep and see some of the little fractures or the iridescence. It means, you know, you turn it one way and it means one thing. You turn another, it looks like something else.
Oh, that's really sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. And even in sonically speaking, you know, I love the spectrum.
Thank you.
Melina, it's been so awesome to have you here. And we're going to close with a witchy exercise. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So I'm going to hand you the Shiro's magic wand through the screen.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now you hold the power to change anything in music for women, non-binary, queer, and BIPOC folks. First wave of the wand.
First wave.
First thought. Yeah, first thought, best thought. Like, what would you change? Just off the top of your head.
As much as I want to change the discrimination of it all, like I said before, I want to change the percentage. Just like automatically make it like 75-85% us. And that, I think it's just the numbers need to change and the volume. And that's what would change everything is just the bodies and the exposure, the examples to basically build and go from there. Because we're running on fumes for like this kind of world.
May it be so. Melina Duterte, thank you for being with us on Shiro's. Congratulations on Belong, this amazing new J-Som album. How should we go out today? What track should we go out with?
Let's do DH because that's the rocker.
Once again to Melina Duterte. Thank you for being with us on Shiro's. Come
back
soon.
Thank you, Carmel. Definitely. Let's do this every year.
Many thanks to Melina Duterte for being with us. The brand new J Somm album, Belong, is available now on Polyvinyl Records. Today's conversation was condensed and edited for broadcast. If you want to hear the entire interview, please download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, which is available everywhere you get your podcasts. Next, we close the hour with a birthday salute to Jessie Ware when She Rose Radio continues.
Stepping away once again here on KAXE, there is more She Rose Radio coming up soon. I'm Malachi Coons. Hope you're having a nice day, everyone. Thank you for spending your weekend with KAXE. Do you love our Tuesday nature programs? KAXE is bringing you a brand new podcast debuting Thursday, October 16th, the Season Watch Pod with hosts Charlie Mitchell, Heidi Holton, John Latimer, and a rotating cast of characters. A podcast for the curious, filled with the delights of nature. Fire in the Village hosts the Creative Crow Club on the first Wednesday of each month from 4 to 6 at Old Central School in Grand Rapids. Youth can explore their artistic gifts, find their voice, and build a caring community. Also going on until the 15th of this month, Kutaska Community Action in Grand Rapids is collecting gently used kids' Halloween costumes. They can be dropped off at the former Murphy Elementary building from 9 to 4 on weekdays. And also on the 15th, Northern Exposure to Lifelong Learning welcomes Doug Oman at the Bagley American Legion at 9:30. He will talk about the Barns of Minnesota. We're heading back to She Rose Radio on KAXE.
It's She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. Please join us in wishing Mercury Prize-nominated British singer and songwriter Jessie Ware a very happy 41st birthday on Wednesday, October 15th. From her 2020 Brit Award-nominated album, What's Your Pleasure? Here's Please. Alison Goldfrapp from her 2023 solo debut, The Love Invention. That's So Hard, So Soft. And we sent a birthday shout out to Jessie Ware and played you the 2020 track, Please, from the album, What's Your Pleasure? That does it for this week's edition of She Rose Radio. Thank you, as always, for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. She Rose Radio is produced by me, is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. You can download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast and to our new YouTube channel, She Rose Productions. We're 100% independent, and that is made possible through the support of our public radio affiliates. And now, listen listeners like you. We have our first fundraising campaign now in progress. You can text SHEROES to 53555 to make a tax-deductible donation through our nonprofit partner, AIR, or visit SHEROESradio.com. Thank you for supporting our work. And until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.